Good morning. We are leaning into Jesus every day, and He is good and faithful. This past week, as a church, we completed our financial year, and again, our leadership team wants to thank you for your continued support and giving. For your worship today, your tithes and offerings can be given by visiting southabbotsford.com/donate, and you can use the giving options available there. Or if you prefer, you can send in a gift by mail and it'll be gladly received. I'm quite sure that you will know that every day at 7 p.m. there is a lot of noise in the neighborhood, and probably every neighborhood across BC, because you are outside on the front lawn or on the back deck banging your pots with spoons and yelling and whistling in support of our healthcare workers. My neighbor, whose wife is a healthcare worker, has taken this 7 p.m. noise-making to another level. He has built a rocket launcher in his backyard, and once a week, on Sunday night, he sets that thing off with a mighty house-shaking boom that sends us scrambling, like the Banks family and Mary Poppins, to catch the pottery before it tumbles off the fireplace mantle. Oh, it's shocking every time, and even when we know it's coming. But we don't mind, because we want to join in with him to say thank you to the doctors and nurses and hospital staff and nursing home staff, medical lab techs and first responders around the world who have been on the front lines working long hours, often with limited supplies, to treat those that are infected with COVID-19, the respiratory illness caused by the novel coronavirus. We are in unusual solidarity, a team spirit with gratitude to those who serve. And I am very aware that because of this global pandemic, you have stepped up to another level of willingness to serve others. You are looking for ways to get involved, asking the neighbors if you can pick up groceries for them since you're going to the store anyway, checking in with seniors on FaceTime to see if they're okay and if there's anything that they need, setting up a Zoom call to help each other with homeschooling the kids. I know there are countless other ways that you serve, and I want to say thank you, church. You are taking great steps in improving your serve. You're probably thinking, wouldn't it be great if this kind of serving attitude would continue to get better? But in your next moment, you might also be thinking, I don't know if it will last. Maybe when the novel coronavirus is past, when we get back to work and the kids are back to school and sports, when we're getting together with friends and shopping and planning vacations, will the servant attitude diminish? Will we go back to paying to be served instead of volunteering to serve? We certainly have an opportunity within all of this COVID-19 suffering. The Spirit is leading us to serve. So don't be skeptical or pessimistic that our servant attitude will end. I think we are learning something very important that will change the way we live. Jesus taught that to be His disciple is to be a servant. We read just this past week, yesterday in fact, that during an argument as to who should be the greatest, Jesus said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." The world tells us to seek success and power and money. Jesus tells us to seek humility, service, and love. Yes, the inclination of the human heart is to be served, not to serve others. But Jesus was never unclear about how He would live. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus was never unclear about how He wanted His position-seeking disciples to live. Whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. And the Bible is not unclear about how we as Jesus people should live. Serve one another humbly in love. Galatians chapter 5. South Abbotsford Church is also clear enough about this that we have written it right into our priorities alongside of our mission and vision statements. Spirit-led serving. And as Matt has said in the first 2 weeks of this series, if these priorities don't work now in this time of crisis, then they're not worth the paper they're written on. I am convinced that God has purposed you to be a servant. I am certain that the Spirit is leading us together to kingdom advancing service. So today, you don't need the talk to convince you to be a servant. My goal today is to help you improve your serve. There are three takeaways today that I think will make Spirit-led serving a growing part of your life. And they are: name yourself servant, act like a servant, and trust the Spirit to lead you to serve. So, name yourself servant. In the gospel parables of Jesus, he often tells a story with a servant as a character in it, sometimes called a steward, referred to as a house ruler. In that culture, a master would bring onto his staff a steward who would rule over a very large house and estate, and there were many workers. And he had the oversight to all of the master's assets and staff. His responsibility was to take those assets and to grow it for the benefit of the master and for all of the workers in the household. You may have watched the Netflix series Downton Abbey. Robert Crawley, Earl of Grantham, was the master, and Mr. Carson, of course, was the steward, the house ruler. In the culture of Jesus' life, the servant, the house ruler, was always a slave. And the reason the house ruler could be such an authoritative person on behalf of the master was because he was both the ruler and the slave. As a ruler, the essence of your service is that you will take the resources that God has given you and grow them for the glory of the master and the benefit of people. A resource is entrusted to you and you grow it. Physical abilities, human relationships, children, spiritual gifts, financial assets. It is your job not just to leave it as it is, but to grow it. In Jesus' parable of the three stewards, it's the wicked servant who takes the resource and, out of fear, buries it in the ground with no possibility of return. As a faithful servant, you take charge of the resources and grow it with fruitfulness and care. None of what you have is yours. You don't own it. It's not for your benefit. You are growing it for the glory of the master and the benefit of others in the world. Pay particular close attention to the benefit of your brothers and sisters in the church, the Bible says. Look, this is your name, servant. You cultivate and grow the master's resources for the benefit of others and the glory of the master. One of the greatest honors that anyone can give to you is to call you a servant of Christ. But there's also this matter of a slave. Who is the ultimate servant in the Bible? Jesus, the Lord. Philippians 2:7, Paul says, he made himself nothing but taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in the human likeness. Jesus is the Lord of the covenant relationship with God, but he also chose to become the slave, the doulos of the covenant through his death on the cross. If at the very heart of your worldview is a man dying for his enemies, then the way that you're going to influence society is through service rather than power and control. Servant is Jesus' name. Becoming a slave was his sacrificial choice. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says this: a servant of Christ Jesus called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Paul names himself as an apostle in most of his letters, but at least three times he calls himself a slave. The word is doulos. It's used often in the New Testament, but softened in its translation as a servant. And we have good reason for that, because it's the difficult history of our race-based, often African Indian forced slavery for life, human trafficking, which is evil. The Bible never celebrates that kind of slavery. But the slavery that the New Testament knows, that Paul knows, is quite different. Here's a couple of examples. Slaves were not distinguishable from others by race or by clothing. Slaves were often more educated than their masters. Slaves generally made the same wages as the other free labor workers. They were mostly well provided for. Poor people were seldom slaves. People could sell themselves into slavery to improve their economic conditions. Few slaves were slaves for life, 10 to 15 years, certainly never past the age of 30. See, Paul had a very different image for slavery in his mind than the race-based forced slavery for life. Paul even described himself as a slave to other people for the sake of their salvation. That's radical. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So what does Paul, what does the Bible mean by slavery to God? It's simply this: a slave can't quit. Obedience to the master is unconditional and ongoing. So our commitment to God, to Jesus, to sisters and brothers, to neighbors, is unconditional. We don't have consumer relationships with God and people. We can't say, I like this church, but I don't like those people, so I'm not going to be with them. This can't be possible. You can't quit on Jesus. You can't quit on each other. This is what it means to be a servant of God. This is what it means to be a slave of Christ. This is what it means to be a servant to each other. Name yourself servant. Okay, don't use slave to avoid the misunderstanding, but servant, yes. Put it on your mirror in the bathroom. Put it on your favorite coffee mug. In your introduction to your friends. In your resume. Servant. That's your name. And this is your assignment. As a faithful servant, you take charge of the resources that God has given you, and you grow it with faithfulness and care. None of what you have is yours. You don't own it. It's not for your benefit. You are growing it for the glory of the master and the benefit of others in the world. Well, that's the first takeaway. Secondly, I would say, act like a servant. When I see Jesus Christ, I simply want to be what he wants me to be, Oswald Chambers said. So if you're going to act like a servant, it's first of all, be humble. Jesus taught a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Paul said that the servant is to gently instruct those who oppose him. Only someone truly humble before God can be gentle to those who oppose them. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Be diligent, hardworking. The servant shows up every day. You don't have to take a day off. There is a great reward for doing what the master has called you to do. Jesus said, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master puts in charge of the servants in his household? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns." Faithful servants never retire. You can retire from your career, but you will never retire from serving God. Be obedient. Here's the heart of servanthood. And the reason that so many times we have problems with unconditional obedience. God doesn't have to give us a reason for what he asks us to do. You obey him whether you like it or not, because he is the master. Anything that he sends into your life that you don't understand, you accept whether you understand it or not. Paul wrote, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ." When God calls you to do something, he is not always calling you to success. He's calling you to obey. The success of the calling is up to him. The obedience is up to you. Be patient. Paul urged Timothy as a servant to be patient. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. The opposite of patience is resenting the circumstances that keeps you from doing what you think ought to be done. The result of impatience is discouragement. As a servant, do your work and don't become discouraged when things don't go your way. Be watchful. A servant needs to be alert to the needs that his master might have and to work in what needs to be done. Listen to the in-the-moment promptings of the Spirit. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. The man waiting for their master will return from a wedding banquet so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him, Jesus said. Be faithful. No matter what happens, a servant remains faithful to his master. Paul said, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Use me, God. Show me how to take who I am and who you are, who you want me to be, then what I can do, and use it for a greater purpose than myself." The last takeaway that I want to offer to you is trust the Spirit to lead you to serve. And you do that by choosing to believe in people's God-given potential. Care about people because it's the right thing to do. The more you believe in people's potential and the more you serve them, the more their potential increases. That creates a win for everyone. Be available to do the ordinary things. One of the characteristics of servants in a household is that they must be available when the master calls them. Nothing that needs to be done is below you. To the servant, every place is the right place. Every time is the right time. Every need is the right need for you to act upon. You must be available to God and to those God directs you to serve. Don't rely on your position or title. Be grateful for the accomplishments that you've made, but don't rely on them to help you serve. Work to earn respect every day by delivering on what you promised and by serving others. Try to see things from the perspective of others. It's only possible to lead and to serve others well when you know their needs and hearts. Intentionally connect with people and try to see from their point of view how you can serve them. Do more than you're asked. You know, our society is conditioned by contracts and union agreements and clock watching. Often people do just what they're asked to do and nothing more. If they are asked to do more than their job description calls for, they want some kind of overtime or other compensation. A true servant does what is necessary to do and more. And finally, work to create an environment of encouragement. Few things are better than being on a team of people who desire to serve one another. When people are willing to serve people and encourage others to serve, a spirit of cooperation emerges where it's one for all and all for one. That will make the environment positive and develop a sense of loyalty among our family and church members. We certainly have an opportunity within all of this COVID-19 suffering. We are taking great steps in improving our serve. Wouldn't it be great if this kind of servant attitude would continue to get better? I am convinced that God has purposed you to be a servant. I am certain that the Spirit is leading us together to kingdom advancing service. So today I pray that you will improve your serve. And these three takeaways can in some way make Spirit-led serving a growing part of your life. Name yourself a servant. As a faithful servant, your assignment is to take charge of the resources that God has given you and to grow it with fruitfulness and care. None of what you have is yours. You don't own it. It's not for your benefit. You are growing it for the glory of the Master and for the benefit of others in the world. Act like a servant. When you see Jesus Christ, you simply want to be what He wants you to be. So be humble, be diligent, be obedient, be patient, be watchful, be faithful. Trust the Spirit to lead you to serve. Choose to believe in people's God-given potential. Be available to do the ordinary things. Don't rely on your position or title. Try to see things from the perspective of others. Do more than you're asked. Work to create an environment of encouragement. Jesus made this challenge and promise that is so beautifully paraphrased by the Message. Who here qualifies for the job of overseeing the kitchen? A person the Master can depend on to feed the workers on time each day. Someone the Master can drop in unannounced and always find him doing his job. A God-blessed man or woman, I tell you, it won't be long before the Master will put this person in charge of the whole operation. And God will say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." As we close today, I want to invite you to pray a very familiar prayer with me. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.